Thank you for tuning in for another episode of Healthy Team, Healthy Business. Today we have a really interesting guest, Kelly Botta, who is going to talk to us about a Netflix-style subscription of healthcare. I thought it was really awesome and cool that she is able to actually get to know the patients and actually spend time with the patients as opposed to typical healthcare where you might see a patient, but then you have to spend just as much time on the paperwork and the insurance claiming part. So you'll find a lot of really good, helpful tips and new ways to go about healthcare.
Yeah, I agree. And I think something that kept coming up over and over again, and I know this is something you and I are passionate about, is she really talked about the care and not the coverage. It seems like discussions about medicine these days always gets wrapped up in what's the insurance going to cover? What's the insurance pay for? Her model, and this model eliminates that completely and makes sure that she can provide care that she thinks that patient needs, in the form that it needs, and in the time that it needs. That's the other part I think is great. She can get to the patient faster, possibly preventing something from getting worse by the time they go through the system, and then maybe something's over and done with before the other poor guy down the road is way sicker. So this was a great episode. I thought Kelly did a great job explaining it to us, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy it. All right, so today we have guest Kelly Botta with us, joining our podcast. Kelly has a practice located in Winchester, Virginia called Smarty Pants Medicine. And I'll let her talk about the name and how the idea arrived. But it's interesting to us because this is a concept of direct primary care that is something that I know I've been passionate about ever since I started hearing about it probably 10 or 11 years ago. I think I remember it becoming a topic, I think, when Obamacare came out and there were people trying to figure out there's got to be a better way, and I think there is a better way. Glad to have it here in a rural area of the country. In larger cities, it's probably a little more prevalent, but in a rural area, things like this, alternative services are hard to come by. So we're fortunate that we have that here. Kelly's been a little more than a decade in the traditional care type of fields. She's a PA, educated here at Shenandoah University in Winchester, and worked in ER and some other variety of places, right?
Internal medicine.
Private practice, and then figured out that this might be a better option for her, and we'll let her tell her story a little bit. So, Kelly, thanks for coming and joining us today. Why don't we go ahead and start with talking about your transition from your background in primary care fields or traditional, and then what led you to where you are now.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you guys today. I would say I was really happy practicing medicine. I knew this was the right field for me straight out of the gate in high school. I knew I wanted to practice medicine. And so I had been doing that as a PA, mostly in internal medicine, but I did work in the urgent care and ER setting for a couple of years and really missed that longitudinal care with patients and just taking care of them over their years and all their family members. So kind of ended up landing back there. And I think it's whenever I started having children and after I was in the field for, like you said, about 10 years, that I really started feeling this tug between, is this the best way? Is this the only way to kind of practice medicine? Because if you're not a healthcare provider listening to this, the hours are long. You don't get paid for overtime. You're salaried. And so you're constantly kind of being pushed for numbers and volume and seeing as many people as you can during the day. And the care is, it's really pressurized and fast. And then you end up having to figure out how to fit in your charting. So oftentimes that ended up looking like staying late at work or taking charting home and doing that on the couch at 10 o'clock at night. And just trying to sustain that life once you add family priorities in there is really difficult. So I'm pretty open about this, but we had some infertility issues with getting our second child. And so after we successfully became pregnant and had her, I just thought, okay, I think this is time to take a pause and to check out and see if there's a better way to practice medicine. So I loved my job. I loved working with all the people that I did. I cried when I left. I didn't really have much of a plan besides, I'm going to probably work per diem wherever I can in Winchester just to stay in medicine because I love it. I'm passionate about it and I'm good at it. But I really wanted to have a little bit better balance. And so through that gave me time to research and see if there was other providers like this in the US, just trying to find a more sustainable way to practice. And that's when I stumbled across direct primary care, this model that has been around longer than I've been practicing medicine, and I just had never heard of it, and we didn't have anything like it in our area. And at first I didn't think it was real, or I didn't know if it was legal. I just thought it sounded too good to be true, to be honest. And so did some research, reached out to some physician owners and other practice owners across the US, and spoke to a lawyer, and you know, got all the things, and really was looking to get employed at a direct primary care practice. I thought it sounded like a great model that I'd fit in, but we just didn't have one geographically. And so I decided to start one.
Are there any other ones in Virginia? Just out of curiosity.
There are. There's several in Virginia. Yeah, there's a couple out in Northern Virginia and some south of us. There are some concierge-style practices in Winchester, or kind of hybrid practices that do some membership, but they still do insurance-based healthcare predominantly. And so as far as I'm aware, my practice is the only totally non-insurance-based practice in Winchester.
Okay.
So it's pretty different.
So I really want to use our time to unpack the model, because sure. I think Dave and I's audience is other small business people, some of them maybe even self-employed single person businesses. So, and this might be their way to get care at an affordable price
sure.
that they didn't think was available to them. Or small businesses like ours, like Winchester Metals, that you know is now working with you to provide care for our employees mm-hmm. as a group. And so, I really want to unpack the model. Like, if you can kind of walk through the structure. How it works. You mentioned membership. Like, why do you use that word?
Yeah.
How that's different from what we're used to. I just kind of let you just kind of go on a riff about that and
okay.
talk about that a little bit.
All right. Help me clue in if there's pieces we leave out. But yeah, I love talking about this stuff. So it is. It's really different than traditional healthcare in the way that you can kind of compare what we do now to how you use your lawyer or your accountant, and it's very transactional based. And so you pay for the time, basically. And so that kind of sets up a barrier for patients seeking care or actually going in and needing care whenever they need it, because there's a financial disincentive to doing that. And so healthcare is very expensive. It's pretty inconvenient. It takes a lot of time to get in. And so because we do that and the access is difficult and it's expensive, it prevents patients from getting care that they need oftentimes. And so what the data on access kind of shows is access to care means you can get care when you need it. So particularly when you're sick. And so if you don't get good access, it ends up costing you more in the long run, which makes sense because whatever acutely is going on gets worse. And then by the time you get in there, we have to do a bigger workup, or you have to end up with different treatment. And so it really drives up the cost of care, and it's an unfortunate experience for patients. And so this whole model kind of centered around, how do we get away from the centers of healthcare being around all the different stakeholders and the finances around healthcare, and how do we get this back to kind of old school where it was physician and patient based relationship model, almost like they do house calls, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've built that into my practice with a house call practice. But there's a saying that says if in direct primary care that if you've seen one DPC, you've seen one DPC. That's because they're independently owned by providers that are creating solutions for their community and what works for them. And the overall model, though, with direct primary care heavily relies on changing that transactional relationship. And so the model that's used is just simply a membership, similar to Netflix. It's a low-cost monthly membership, and you get as much access as you need. And so by doing that, it incentivizes people to reach out earlier whenever they need care. And it gives you a chance to kind of do a little bit more preventative care and wellness and health coaching if patients are ready for that. And so it kind of removes some of that financial disincentive to get the care that you need. So what that also does as a business model is it provides a predictable source of income for the practice, right, for the provider, because as much as we'd like to, we can't work for free. And so this model has kind of figured out what's a reasonable, fee where it will be interesting to providers to go into and financially not disincentivizing us either, but also affordable for patients. And the cool thing is, because we function outside of insurance, meaning you don't present an insurance card when you come to see me, it's completely self-pay. And so I work for you, and that makes me motivated to do a good job for you, right? And so we don't have to see as many patients in this model because we have that predictable monthly income. And so that frees up a lot of time that's typically spent on charting and billing and coding and trying to make sure our notes are maximized and all the diagnoses are in there and listed out so that we can get maximum reimbursement from an insurance company. It takes that huge burden that none of the providers like to do anyways. That's not why we went to school, was to bill and code and, you know, focus on reimbursement. We really want to do patient care. And so by taking that piece out, it really solves a lot of the problems on the provider side and the patient side. And I will say, when I first heard about doing membership medicine, I was like, oh, I'm not really about memberships. Like, I don't know if I even like this model. I don't know if I want to do it. But then when you look at it, it's an amazing way to give people quick access and really high level care. And so we don't have a ton of data, you know, nationwide data on this, but there are providers, thousands of practices all over the US now over the last 15 to 20 years that are doing this. And we do have improved quality. There are reduced costs, pretty significant reduced costs. Providers are happier. We're seeing less people. We're not spending endless time charting. Our patients are happier because we're able to spend more time with them and do more education. So the whole model is just really neat. And the other thing that you mentioned, specific to your audience, it kind of solves this problem where the insurance premiums are really, really high, so high that they price out a lot of single member, just anybody who doesn't have employer-sponsored healthcare. And so there's a pretty big gap in our community. I think the most recent community needs assessment that our local large health system did showed that 30% of people don't access care because of insurance and cost. 30%?
Yeah.
That's disappointing. You know, this is like what I've given my life to, 30% of our community. So that is kind of a problem that I'm excited about solving, because this model works whether you have insurance, whether you don't, whether you're wealthy or whether you're not. I mean, the cost is low enough that pretty much anybody can access this care. And so that's the idea, is just bringing a different option for healthcare if you don't have access to some of these other options. And so small businesses who aren't able to, you know, afford insurance, traditional level insurance, or want to do it in a smarter way, you know, this is a really, really, really neat thing to be able to bring to the community.
Yeah.
So that was pretty long-winded, but have any questions or chime in?
When you said the membership aspect, are they getting to talk directly with you, or is there somebody else that's intermediary, or when they have questions?
Yeah, great point. So direct primary care is what the model's called, and primary care is primary care. We, you know, provide all the same kind of services. We do your physicals, we do your sick care, we do your chronic care, med refills, all this stuff in a traditional practice. But the direct piece is different. And so what that means is you have direct access to your provider. And so people get my cell phone number, my personal email. When they call, I answer the phone. And so you really have this, almost like you have a healthcare provider in your family, access. So those quick questions, you don't have to take off work in the morning to try and come in and schedule an appointment. You know, you can just fire off an email, and we can get that done efficiently. So people get to use their PTO usually for things they want to be using it for, instead of, you know, coming to sit in the office and seek care. The phone tree thing, super annoying for myself as a patient. You just don't have that in this model. You don't need it, and it's, the practices are run really lean intentionally, because we're aware of cost, you know, and so we want to provide high value at a low cost. So it's a pretty cool model. It's been fun. Most of the practices across the U.S. are a couple of providers and even less staff, because you don't really need it, because you're not seeing such a high volume. The comparison, I mean, from a number standpoint, in the traditional setting, like a full-time provider typically takes care of 2,000 people. And in this model, full-time is about 500. So all of that time that you have is recaptured for, you know, some business things, but mostly that is for patient care.
If somebody was learning about this and trying to decide if it was for them, and they said, well, I'm a diabetic and I'm overweight and I've got all these different healthcare problems, so I'm scared to jump from what I know and my daily or weekly prescriptions, is that something that still is able to be handled and probably even potentially at a better level now, or is that not?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's all about personalized care, you know, and so it's kind of like what fits for that person. You have to look at the whole picture, and so are they on some really, really expensive meds where they can't really afford to not have an insurance plan because they'll bankrupt themselves, right? And so they have to kind of pay these high cost premiums because of what the pharmaceutical industry has done. And so there's so many players at the table. The really neat thing about this is people can call and we can have a conversation about you and your situation and your health and what you need. And if what I'm doing fits what you need, that's awesome. If it's not, I'll redirect you somewhere else, you know, because the whole point is patient-centric care. And so chronic care is something that we do. I think it could be an advantage for that type of a patient, because all their follow-up visits that they do standardly every 3 to 4 months, you're not getting these massive bills each time you come in, or each time we have to make a med adjustment, or you have a problem with your, you know, insulin or something like that. You just call or see me and it's a flat rate. So people have a lot better access, you know, sicker patients who need that care. And the other piece we haven't really touched on is some of the ancillary services that direct primary care can provide. And a patient like that needs labs about every 3 to 4 months to kind of monitor what's going on from a safety standpoint, assuming they would be on multiple medications. And so this model, we're able to partner with local ancillary services like labs and imaging to get reduced cost pricing, because in the traditional market, these are marked up about 2 to 10 times their true cost to cover the administrative overhead. And so because this model's payment is different, we don't need to make money on these ancillary services. We can just kind of pass the real cost through to the patients. That was a really eye-opening experience for me, kind of putting the business together and getting those quotes back and seeing, you know, what is typically on the bill and then seeing what the, you know, pricing is at face value. Was a pretty sobering moment for me, and I think it helped me understand why about 30 to 40% of our country is in healthcare debt. I never really could get my head around that before, and then after looking at these price differences, it was like, okay, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So also, you know, cost isn't everything. We're focused on quality care and relationship, but cost is a piece, you know, and it is a factor. And if it's something that we can be respectful of, I think that's really important. And there's been a push overall in healthcare to move towards price transparency. We're just not doing that very effectively in the current healthcare system. And so I love the integrity behind this model, that you can really put the pricing out there and say, like, here's what the cost is. And if it's appropriate for you to be able to wait, if the patient needs to, then let's do that. You know, just being able to tie that into the conversation is super, super different for patients and for providers. Yeah, good question.
Speaking of it being different, I'm just curious, since you've been in this a little over a year now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's it been like? What's the reception like for both potential clients or patients, whatever you call them, and then what's it like from the rest of your peers that are still in the traditional group? I mean, it's a different concept. And even me as one of your patients, the idea that, oh, wait, I don't have to schedule a doctor's appointment. I can just text Kelly and she can probably tell me something on the phone, or I can send her an email and she can set up something. It's even someone who's kind of plugged into this kind of stuff. I still struggle with that. So I can't imagine like somebody that's, go after this cold with somebody, like, what's the reception like, or what's your initial, what's the initial reaction like when you talk about this?
I mean, most people have the same reaction that I kind of had, which is like, is this real? Is this a thing? You know, and especially being the first one to the market in our area here, you know, you do have to kind of unpack that a little bit for people. And I think analogies help a lot. And so I tend to try and lean on that. And so one I would just share with your listeners is think about the way we use our homeowner's insurance. Right, most people are familiar with that. We don't turn in all the receipts every time we paint one of the rooms in our house to our homeowner's insurance. If we did that, our cost would be really expensive. There's a lot of people painting their houses, right? And so we do that same thing in healthcare. We turn in low-cost receipts, which is primary care, is pretty low cost when you look at it comparatively across the healthcare system, surgical specialties, inpatient care. Primary care is not the expensive piece. And yet we're turning all of these receipts into the insurance companies and letting them pay for that. And it's actually it's paralyzing ourselves by doing that, because it's driving the cost of the system up. And so it is hard to get people to understand that. But once we have the conversation and they see really the convenience of this and the higher level care they have, people really want that. They want someone who knows them. They want someone, they're willing to pay for convenience. They're willing to pay for access, because it is a problem, and you know, in across the states, not just in our community. So knowing that, you know, same day or next day service whenever you're sick is huge for peace of mind. And so I think that's a really cool thing to be bringing to the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you also work with children, or is it just adults? I mean, you had said, you know, if you're sick, and unfortunately, like, I have two kids right now that are sick. Is that something that you would be able to help with, or is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way my practice is designed is for internal medicine. And so what that means is adult medicine. So 18 and up right now is who we're treating at my practice. You know, as we grow, there's a big interest for pediatrics, and a lot of direct primary care practice do see pediatrics all the way to geriatrics. So what I'm doing right now is internal medicine. But hey, in a year or two, maybe we can add peds in. Gotcha. Same kind of model. It follows the same thing. It's just they're even lower cost, you know, per month. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What is the larger medical community? What do they think about this form of practice or of medicine?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure because I'm kind of in my own little microcosm right now. I've had a lot of colleagues reach out with support and interest because, as you guys know, the healthcare system has been pretty crushing, you know, the last year or two for many, all sides of the table, basically. And so people are definitely ripe for change. I think there's a need for that. And so I think it's overcoming some of these barriers, you know, that we talked about earlier of, can we do this? How does this work? How can I still make money doing this? Can I provide for my family? You know, it's those kind of questions that once you get over those hurdles, it's the same quality care. So that piece is kind of a non-issue. It's just more of a, does this, can I get my mind around the financial side of this, and how would this look for my family? So within the direct primary care community, there's so much enthusiasm and collegiality more than any other environment in medicine that I've been in. And I think that's because people really feel what a big difference maker this is for patients and providers. And so there's this natural, like, we need to push this movement forward. We need to, you know, keep going with this, and that this really could change the face of healthcare in our nation, at least in the primary care space. So that's pretty exciting, and you can kind of feel that energy. So that's been really fun to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What's the transition look like, Kelly, if someone listening now or is thinking about, is in the medical field and would like to try something different? Mm-hmm. What's the transition like to, I guess, both the mindset and then the steps you might have to take if someone wanted to start something like this? What would it look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to get your mind around what are you willing to sacrifice to do it, because, okay, you know, say you're somebody who's got a full patient panel that follows you, and then you go and tell them you're going to change the whole payment system and they have to pay a monthly fee, you know, you're maybe going to only bring over 15 to 30% of those patients. And so you do have to prepare financially to do that, and kind of come up with how are you going to make that work. And we talked earlier about, if you've seen one, you've seen one. Mm-hmm. And so some people will switch their practice to like a hybrid, while they'll still be taking insurance while they're growing their membership side. And then that's like a practical logistical way that they can absorb the financial cost with doing that. Others like myself, you pick up some per diem work and you kind of do both. Okay. And you just make it work. Some people do a wait list, you know, and they grow their wait list until they're ready to jump off. If you have I think having a supportive partner or spouse is super important for this, because they're often able to help you carry the first year or two until you kind of ramp up. So I think just being open-minded and being creative, and then talking to other people who are actually doing the work, was the biggest game changer for me, realizing like, this is possible, I can do this. Like, I'm not crazy for thinking I can go after this, right? Like, people are doing this successfully and they're loving it. So I would just encourage, if people were interested, and you can go, there's a website, I think it's called DPC Frontier, I believe, and there's a list of all the direct primary care practices, okay, across the US, and we can maybe link to that in the show notes. But call up some of those practices, see if you can get a hold of one of the providers. Everybody's really willing to talk to you. I was really surprised by that, but we want to increase the number of providers doing this type of care, because it's changing the face of healthcare in the primary care space. So yeah, do your research, talk to people so that you understand what you're getting into, and then when you're ready, get your pieces in a row and then make your jump.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome, because it's such a money-driven system now, and if you've got 30% approximately without healthcare, if we can fix that, I mean, that can be massive for the workforce community, for parents, and I mean, just so many different facets that can help improve. So that's awesome that everybody's kind of willing to help and try to change the momentum of healthcare.
It is. It's really exciting, and my practice kind of reflects that same split. Like, I've got about 75 or 80%, probably at 75 now, that have insurance, some type of a catastrophic plan or some type of a traditional healthcare coverage for if something terrible happens, like, you know, you're in a car accident or something. We do always recommend people to have that safety blanket. But 25% of my patients are uninsured and otherwise don't have any health care, you know, and they're simply accessing emergency care, urgent care, and that's really not health care. And so that's one thing I like to say about this model, is it's health care, it's not health insurance, you know. Yes. So this doesn't replace your health insurance, but this does provide you actual health care. And that can be as proactive as you want it to be, as engaging as you want it to be. because you're the driver, you're the payer. It's no longer the insurance company as the payer getting to dictate how often you get to be seen. You decide for yourself.
Yeah, I don't remember the history or when that happened, but you know, at some point, the insurance model became employers provide group coverage. And it was kind of a benefits race, you know, it's like competing for employees, kind of like we're doing mm-hmm. now here in 2021. But
right.
It was a long time ago, and then that just became the norm.
Correct.
And so all these people that either were self-employed or had small businesses kind of got pushed out of the system completely. And
right.
I love the point you made about it being health care, not health insurance. I mean, I think that's where things just really got messed up, mm-hmm. because what we're trying to do is help people be healthy and not find a way to, like you said, check a box on a chart so that you get reimbursed appropriately. And I think right. that's the biggest thing. Following up on that, I kind of want to ask the question, you mentioned charting a couple times, which mm-hmm. obviously is a pain point, but mm-hmm. I guess you still collect data. I mean, you still keep, mm-hmm. you have to keep records of some kind, but yeah. are you really required to, or how does that work?
Yep. So still have to document, you know, got to know one, just what's going on with your patient for the next sure. visit, making sure, you know what's going on, but, do always have to have that documentation there just in the event that you were to get, you know, taken to court or something, if something, you know, somebody had a bad outcome. So you always chart the same way, but, there's a lot of compliance things that insurance companies require that is not a part of this model. And so, you know, you have to submit, you know, all these different data sheets with all these different data points on it in order to keep your contract with this insurance company. And that's usually done more on a practice level. That kind of filters down to us as providers as just, you need to make sure you ask these questions, you know, and we're kind of like, I don't want to ask these questions. They have nothing to do with what the patient's here for today. Right, yeah. You know, I don't want to, you know, but we have to ask these questions because otherwise it's going to break our contract with the insurance company. And then we can't provide care to the section of the community that has this insurer. And so it's really a complex net. I don't think it's anyone's fault necessarily. Like I don't hate the healthcare system. You know, they have a piece to play. I just think that the way that things have kind of morphed in healthcare has become the incentives are not properly aligned anymore. And so I think unintentionally, even as providers, we begin doing things to people instead of really, you know, trying to promote wellness in the best way that we can, because this reimbursement piece, it is a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a complicated web, the documenting. But basically what you need to do is document what you do and why you do it and not be clicking a bunch of boxes for payment and compliance, right. if that makes sense.
Right, because you've already taken care of the payment part.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it just simplifies it so much. The whole idea is like, just keep it easy. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you do the monthly billing. You know, that's why you keep all the costs straightforward. Just trying to keep healthcare as simple as you can, because it's not a simple system. And I think because of that, we lose a lot of patients. And, you know, we see that in health outcomes in the U.S. that socioeconomic status matters for your health outcomes. And if you're in the lower socioeconomic status, you have poorer health. And this direct primary care model is seeking to solve that problem as well, by keeping things simple, giving people more time to ask questions, to allowing you to do more patient care. So it's not just the medicine, it's kind of the overall model of why are we doing what we're doing? What's the reasoning behind it? Why did we all get into this? And really allowing us to build a model that serves our patients and isn't serving accessory stakeholders.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
I'm going to go back to we kind of glossed over it, but mm-hmm. you do actually make house calls, right? You don't have an office.
Yeah,
right.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So right now I'm a fully house call practice, which is again different and the only one in our area doing that. So yeah, we communicate with my patients via phone, text, email, telehealth, which everyone's become accustomed to, mm-hmm. you know, over the last 2 years. But direct primary care has been using this for 10, 15 years, because the reason a lot of face-to-face visits happened and the model was set up this way is that's the only way we could get paid based on the insurance requirements, was you had to have a face-to-face conversation. They won't pay you if you do a phone call. And so patients have learned to come to the office. But is that really necessary to provide appropriate care? Not always. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But so in this model, I get to decide that when I'm talking to my patient, is it appropriate for me to come do an exam? Do you need me to actually lay hands on you and listen to your lungs and, you know, do an exam? Or is this something that we can manage with a conversation, and respect your time and respect my time? So yeah, I go to my patients when I'm, you know, when we do their exams. It's been really interesting and kind of helps you to get to know people on a better basis when you see their house and you see their environment. You learn a lot about them and simplify stuff like, can you just go get your medication so that we can see that and grab your supplements while you're at it? Right. And, you know, we can kind of sit there and go through those things together. I can see the environment they're in. We can talk about what exercises they can do in their own space. And, you know, some of these things that you don't have time for and you just don't have the knowledge of, you know, if you're not inside somebody's house. So it's been a pretty different way to practice medicine, to be honest, but I've really enjoyed it. I would like to keep the practice this way as long as I can, as long as we can make it sustainable and I can continue to grow. We may end up having to get a brick and mortar location at some point, but I'd like to keep it this way. If I can keep figuring out how to do it right now, it's working really well.
Yeah.
I would think that the house call aspect and what you just were speaking of would be massive pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah.
You have Cheetos on your counter. Maybe that's why you have heartburn, or there's, you know, black mold over there in the ceiling that you didn't realize, homeowner, that you can now maybe, that's maybe causing some of these ailments that you're having. Right. So that's really cool and interesting that you go to somebody's house for it.
Yeah.
How would that work for a business? If iSignet wanted to change my model, I mean, is that something that you would help as a business itself, or it's just more of, we would talk directly to each one of your team members and see if they want to do it, or how, or do you work with businesses or how?
Yeah. So work with, right now, like small, medium sized businesses. And it kind of is really fun because it can be whatever the business owner needs that to be. And so looking at what works for their employees, what pieces are they missing? Do they have insurance or not? How can we build a healthcare solution with direct primary care at the center? Because the data shows 80 to 90% of your care over your lifetime can be taken care of in primary care. That's a high percentage. Yeah. And so if we can take care of that piece, I think, and get people access so that they don't end up bouncing around to these higher cost centers, it saves companies a lot of money. It actually saves the insurance company a lot of money, right? And it saves patients from getting the downstream percentage they have to pay for that. And so building a solution for a business around direct primary care is really, it's really been fun. And, you know, it's something that Josh and I have worked on, but bringing in the ancillary piece of, okay, what can we offer as catastrophic care so that people, you know, aren't going to be bankrupt if they end up in the hospital? What does that look like? And can we bring in an insurance broker and bring in a piece that might work for them? Or can we bring in health shares? How can we solve pharmacy? And so kind of getting people who are specialists in those different areas at the table to say, what's your budget at as a business owner? Okay, how much money can we allocate to each of these different things? And then your employees get to kind of elect in whatever works for them as well. And so usually providing a couple of options, I think, is normal as an employer. And, you know, I'm not in that space, so don't ask me, but that's kind of how I understand it as an employee previously and then with the companies I've worked with. And so that people can kind of pick, do they want to pick DPC with a high deductible health insurance plan or with some other type of catastrophic coverage? Can they only afford direct primary care, you know, and use that as the basis, and then hopefully they can add on later? Or do they really have some pretty complex medical problems and they need to have a traditional high premium, you know, plan that really works better for them, you know? And so giving people choices, it's like every other industry, it's just adding another option to the table for the company and the employees.
I like it just because you can actually talk to you about it. And it's not, like you said, through the tree to listen, to leave a voicemail so that the person will call you back or their secretary will call you back.
Right.
You can come in and meet them with the business, sit down, look through each one of those different avenues and kind of work.
And then, you know, we meet with the employees too. I mean, I do. I don't know if every direct primary care practice does, but at least at the owner level, always sitting down with you guys so that you know us. I mean, we're real people. You know, we have problems we're trying to solve with our practice. And so a lot of times that collaboration has been really fun. And then it gives us a chance, you know, if the owner wants to meet their employees and say, like, hey, here's the actual person. Does her personality fit, you know, you? And and so people get a feel for what they're signing up for before they just have to go sign up for X doctor that's on a list that they never met. You know, I think it's paramount that you like whoever's working with you, because being fully honest and fully transparent about your health is absolutely necessary to have good outcomes. And so being able to let people make that choice and meet me has been really different. You know, usually people just show up on your list for the day and you walk into the room and that it is what it is, you know, and they just picked you off the list oftentimes. So this way it's a lot more personal and people can have a say. So it's been fun.
Yeah. I think another important piece to that people have to understand is that it's not contractual in that if you decide that a patient is not a good fit for you, you can terminate that service. And if the patient decides, I don't really like her anymore,
right,
they can terminate that. And then there's no lingering bills. There's nothing left right. behind. It's whatever, you know, whatever you add up to that point, it's over with. And that's nice for businesses too, because we like to operate that way, right?
Right.
Your customers fire us, or we fire customers or vendors all the time. It's just how business is done.
Right.
And I think it's important. You feel like you get in bed with a doctor and they're your primary care provider. It's like leaving that is hard.
Yeah.
And finding a new one's hard.
Got to go mm-hmm. find network again. What's a network?
And, right. And you got to do all this. Sense. It's just a whole thing you got to unpack to be able to
right.
do that.
Right. Yeah. So again, the whole point is keeping it simple. And so I always tell people, like, it's not a 2-year contract. You know, you're not signing up and right. getting stuck. Like, this isn't about me trying to get rich, right? Like, mm-hmm. if I wanted to make the most money, I wouldn't work for myself.
You know? Right.
This is about, like, doing the right thing that I love, and I'm providing a high quality service, and I'm making enough to provide for my family, you know, and you know, I'm not gonna make a poor business model, but mm-hmm. That's not the chief driver, and it shouldn't be the chief driver, because then incentives are misaligned. And so by allowing me to serve my patients directly, like you said, it's kind of like I'm incentivized to do a good job, and they get to use as much as they need the healthcare. So it's bringing this, you know, you call it customer in every other industry, or client, mm-hmm. you know, and we call them patients, but bringing them back to the decision making table so that they can direct their healthcare, you know, and they know what works for their situation. And so we're just here to serve.
Yeah. What other skill sets do you think if a practitioner was thinking about this model and doing what you did, leaving, what skill set do you think they need to brush up on before they go do that? You either had some savvy, or you did a lot of homework before you did this, because you said your training was in medicine.
Right.
So understanding the business side of that, whatever, what other skills do you think somebody needs to make sure they have in their little toolkit before they go do this?
Yeah, you either need to read a lot. I think the main thing is you need to be willing to network with people, because there's just no way that you're going to learn what you need to learn to own and operate a business by going to med school. It's just not going to happen. And again, I think that's a huge gap in the education system across the boards, but in healthcare specifically. This is, you know, one of the reasons that all the small, privately owned practices are not surviving. And the climate is making it impossible to survive, but also, like, we may not be the most savvy business operators, right? Because we were trained in medicine. And so I think having a strong network of either different people that can sit at the table with you, from, you know, an accountant and doing business planning and that kind of a thing. My husband and I do real estate a little bit, so we're used to kind of playing around with numbers and forecasting out. So we forecast out 5 years on the regular for our family. And so being able to do that allowed us to make a financial jump that made sense for our family. But from a business standpoint, having a team that you can kind of go to and say, what about this? What about this? You know, and getting a lawyer, and getting, honestly, some other practice owners that you trust, that you've, you know, networked with, you can run ideas by, I think is important. If you gotta be brave, and you gotta be good at and willing to network. I mean, good at it or not, you gotta be willing to do it.
Yeah.
And then, knowing that you better find a strong team, you know, so.
Any questions before we wrap it up?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Well, Kelly, I think your all your stuff, like your social media stuff, is all Smarty Pants Medicine. Is that
yep.
correct?
Okay. Yep.
So we'll link out to all that stuff. We're just making fun of you for doing TikTok stuff for
you. That's the one platform I'm not on yet. Yeah.
But no, it is tough putting yourself out there like that. It's hard to do. So. Tons of respect. You know, again, I'm excited again personally, because I remember hearing about this stuff years ago, and to find that someone is doing it here and right in our backyard is great. Here at Winchester Metals, you know, we're working with you now. We've just started this month, so mm-hmm. we're just getting into it, and our employees are excited. But there's a mental shift. I can, just talking to some of them, I can already tell. Well, didn't you sign up for? Why are you trying to schedule something for your doctor? Didn't you sign up for Smarty Pants?
Mm-hmm.
So. It's education. It's interesting. Yeah.
Education.
And that's the part that Dave and I are passionate about, I think, more than anything, is just front end education, and glad that you were able to provide that.
Yeah.
One thing you said to me one time when we talked, which sticks out, because you probably think I'm trying to kill myself for doing keto all the time. but you said, I will always treat you. And I think that was important. I think that's what you're talking about, is You know, it would be very easy for a doctor to just throw me out of their practice, right? Because
you're hopefully doing, not, but yeah, they might disagree strongly.
Yeah, but you're doing what? Well, that which box on here do I check that this guy's doing this crazy diet or whatever else? But I mean, you can obviously always tell me I'm not going to work on you anymore. But you did say you said that, and I think that's important. I think people need to understand that that's the difference. Yeah, the insurance company's not going to dictate that you don't want you get to work with this person or not.
Right, and that's, I mean, I know you're wrapping up, but that's a good point because we don't really, we're not waiting on insurance approval for a lot of these things. I'm ordering it and you're going and getting it done.
Yeah.
And by functioning outside of the insurance approval process, we can practice medicine the way that it works for our patients. And so sometimes it works to, you know, use your insurance, but sometimes it's not the best route to get things done. And so I'm really passionate about patient education. That's, you know, part of the reason that I named the company Smarty Pants Medicine is I really think knowledge is power. And not just in about personal medical things, but just about this industry and learning how to navigate it and doing it in a way that's best for you as the patient. And so if direct primary care is that, then I'm happy to provide the knowledge on that. So yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun to chat with you guys.
Yeah. Great way to finish. Thanks for coming on board with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming along with us for another episode of the Healthy Team, Healthy Business podcast. We'd love for you to follow us on Instagram at Healthy Team, Healthy Biz. That's B-I-Z. You can also find us on Facebook under the same name. You're welcome to send us a message on either one of those applications, or you can send us an email directly at teamdudes@healthyteamhealthybusiness.net. We'd love to hear your feedback and requests you might have for topics or guests. Please feel free to send them our way. If you would take the time to give us a rating or a feedback on your favorite podcast app, that would also be much appreciated and quite helpful. Thanks again for following along and sharing your passion for health with all of us.